Welcome to the Scotland Grows Show, the podcast where we celebrate Scottish gardening. I'm MT O'Donnell, editor and producer of Scotland Grows magazine, and your host for this adventure. We are delighted that this series of the Scotland Grows Show is sponsored by Roots, a subscription from National Trust for Scotland, which celebrates Scotland's flora in the form of a Roots pack sent to you every 6 weeks, containing Scottish seeds to grow at home, tips from expert National Trust gardeners, and stories and histories of the Scottish plants protected and cared for by the National Trust, thus helping both your garden and National Trust for Scotland's gardens thrive. Kim Light is well known on Instagram for her absolutely gorgeous cut flower garden at My Scottish Garden in Wishaw, just outside Glasgow. As a self-taught amateur gardener, Kim ripped up her traditional front garden to transform the space from boring and barren to a floriferous ecosystem where she grows the most fabulous cut flowers that she then gives away. I followed Kim for a number of years on Instagram, so it was a pleasure to chat more with her about her garden transformation. So let's launch Series 3 of the Scotland Grows Show in conversation with Kim Light. Kim, welcome to the Scotland Grows Show and thank you so much for being a guest on Series 3.
Series 3 already, eh?
So you're well known on Instagram for your absolutely gorgeous cut flower garden, and anyone who's not following you on there, I would urge them to look for you just at My Scottish Garden, and we'll put your link in the bio at the end so people can find you. But it's not just a regular cut flower garden that you have. You actually ripped up your front garden to make it a cut flower garden, which I think is what is so fantastic. So tell us a wee bit about the why you decided to do that and how you decided to do that.
Well, when I moved here, I rented the property and the landlord just had two fronts of grass and stones round, like a sometimes a standard garden. You've got two strips of lawn, pebbles round the outside and a pathway up the middle. Very just plain, easy to manage, easy to maintain, which I did for 3 years. And then I bought the house and I didn't touch the front garden until probably, I think we're going to 2018, 2019. And I started thinking, how can I change it? I knew nothing about growing flowers or anything like that. I didn't know when to sow seeds. I basically found Instagram. I was on Instagram for years. Like I basically was on Instagram since it was the grainy pictures, filters and all that. Joined that, then started seeing all these like gardeners and things. And I'm like, oh, this is when you do it. So I started researching when you started flowers. So, but I hadn't prepared the ground at all. I basically got some wood. I found out from a friend of mine about no dig. I'm like, well, that saves me digging up a clay lawn, because I didn't want to do that. That was like, I want to have a nice flower bed, but the thought of having to turn over grass and get it workable to grow anything in, because it is quite thick clay. I'm sure I could make pots out of it. It's that thick in my garden. So when my friend says, oh, do no dig, I'm like, what is that? Sent me a few videos and I'm like, oh, I'm in for that. Collected cardboard, laid it down on the grass. I was very dubious though, because I'm like, how does this work? How on earth is this going to work? So I set up my first bed with old pallet wood, because I was like, I just bought this house. And I'm like, well, I'll reuse what I have. There was building works going on around our estate, and I basically got a guy and he dropped off loads of pallets. My gran always said I'd get a piece at MD's door. So I asked, I got, and he came around and delivered them to the house. So I stripped those pallets and built my first bed, laid cardboard down. You soak the cardboard. And then I got like bags of well-rotted manure, compost, anything I had. And I left it for a couple of months. I started the bed probably about this time last year while I was sowing seeds. And then I knew it'd be ready to plant out like springtime. So that was how the first bed started. But I have pictures of it and it's just like still a strip of lawn and then this bed on the end. It just looked ludicrous. So I had to build more beds. Then I painted them. Then I called it the pink bed, the blue bed, and the green bed. And that's how it started, basically. So I was to not be overwhelmed, I didn't want to do the whole garden. So basically started with one bed and thought I was kind of smart enough to actually grow ranunculus.
And that was a sharp shock.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I basically that year I found people and I was like a seed box, like this company were doing seed boxes and they were like the seeds you would sow then. Like a lot of people are doing it now. So there's so many companies that do it now, but that was quite unusual like 3, 4 years ago. So I got that because I was like, well, this will give me an idea to what I sow because I have no idea. Bought seed trays, I bought a zippy, but I didn't want a tall one. Because the side of my garden is like a wind tunnel. Basically, I live in a row of terraces, and then there's a gap in between me and the next row of terraces. So the wind blows, and it really can get up to quite ferocious. So I was like, if I put a zippy around there, it will take flight, and I'll never see it again. So I got a low zippy, more like a kind of cold frame build. And because I knew the high winds, I basically with my pallet wood made a frame. And contained the low zippy in it so it wouldn't take flight. And that was where all my seedlings get stored over the winter and stuff like that. So that's how it grew. I mean, I grew everything. I was trying everything. I had no idea that about hardy annuals, half hardy annuals, whether you autumn sowed them, spring sowed them, nothing. I was winging it. I still wing it most of my life, mind you, but
Why did you choose to grow from seed as opposed to going to a nursery and just buying things
money,
already
money.
decorated?
I'm a single parent, basically on my own, so every penny counts. And I didn't have like loads of cash to go buy plants or. Plus, I think the kind of flowers I was starting to grow for floristry or like my cut flower patch, it was they don't exist in the garden centres. You can't go and buy like cornflowers or corncockles or anything like that that I first started sowing. And I thought, well, a packet of seeds is like a couple of quid, you know, maybe £1 something you could go buy seeds for. So in the seed box I was getting, I think you get like maybe 6 or 7 packets of seeds for £10 a month. And they would send them out. And of course, I did the whole, oh, let's just sow the whole packet. But where do you put like 300 seeds? You know, I mean, as I said, I had no clue what I was doing back then, but the one thing I would say to him is just give it a go. Just go with it. What can go wrong? You know, you end up with 400 cornflowers. Yeah, that you have to give to loads of people.
You started out sowing things from seed in order to save money, but you clearly found the joy in it because you're still doing it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's my mental health has been saved with gardening because nurturing that seedling all the way through its life, whether because of the weather we have in Scotland is not the best through the autumn months when you sow a lot of your seeds for spring. So yeah, I don't know what it fascinates me that whole from that. I mean, a snapdragon seed is like you can hardly see it. It's so tiny and it grows into this massive sphere of beautiful flowers that you can cut and it keeps giving. You know, cut and come again flowers are basically what I aim for. If they don't produce more flowers, they're out my garden. I have limited space, so I'm pretty harsh when it comes to stuff. If I don't like it, it's out. You know, I'm very not very forgiving, put it that way. I will never grow ranunculus again on the whole story of ranunculus, but not after 2 years of attempting it. They're too Goldilocks for me.
Yeah, everyone has to find what works for them. It's as good a lesson to find out what doesn't work as what does work.
The way I look at it, right, these plants are from Mexico. And I'm sorry, if you are in a bikini in Mexico, it's really nice. In a bikini in Scotland in that time of year, it's not. So I try to, that's the way I look at plants. I'm like, right, okay, if I was in a bikini and like in a foreign country and it was really hot, I'd be really comfortable and happy. But if I had to step outside there in September, like September or March, in a bikini? No. So why would the plant like that, you know? And I don't have a big enough area to have a big polytunnel to grow these plants. They're gorgeous and I love them. And I tried for 3 years and that's me. It's like, no, I gave them a good shot. They're not for my garden.
Yeah, and let's face it, there's sometimes in June or July, you wouldn't even step out in a bikini in Scotland.
No, you would not. Yeah, so my plants, I very much have a look at what will grow here, what it likes, look more natively. And I've now kind of branched out into perennials as well, because I basically grow my garden from one year to the next. That's what I do. You know, there's not a great deal of flowers left at the end of the year. I am adding more perennials to basically not have that empty space, because that's quite, I don't know, looking out and the garden in the winter and there's nothing there is, it's horrible. That's been a struggle. I really struggle through the winter months, because the gardening for me is basically feeds my soul.
Yeah. And what you did, and people can see that on your Instagram feed, is you grew these masses and masses of gorgeous flowers and then you gave them away.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I mean, this year's been quite harsh, actually, the weather, and I've not given away as many flowers as I have the last 3 years. The thing was to grow to give. And during COVID, I would deliver them off. I basically made jam jar full of flowers, grabbing flowers, learning from people online, watching videos to make posies, watching Instagram. The people in the Gardengram community are amazing. They're so, I don't know, it's such a nice community. If people have something, they will help you. They will share their knowledge for free. And it's what I do, you know. It's like, I want to spread the joy. And that's what I did through my cut flower patch. I grew the flowers, put them into as nice a posy as I could do. And sometimes giving them in jam jars. Sometimes I made bouquets up for special, like if somebody at the community was having a birthday. And we have a local community centre here that basically did loads during COVID. And they delivered people's groceries that couldn't get out. So I would add in a jam jar of flowers a couple of times a week. And then when COVID was over and they were starting to open the community centre up, I would drop off like jam jars of flowers for them to set the tables, because they did like a meet and greet thing with the community. Basically people that are not seeing anybody, they go in, they'd have a bite to eat, some soup and a sandwich, and I would put flowers out in the morning, and then they took them away with them, like they dished them out to people. I'd probably try and deliver about eight. I'd ask how many people were there and I would try and get as close to that, so they all got like a bunch of flowers away with them, just a tiny jam jar, you know, and then they would try and get the jam jars back, pasta jars, whatever, so I could do the same thing maybe the following week. And if I didn't have enough flowers, I would do it like, it was not like a set thing. I just tried like my best to give out as many flowers as I possibly could. So
it literally sharing the love, wasn't it, with flowers?
I mean, it's the amount of people that just, it cheered them up, because they were getting like bread and milk and things and their like prescriptions delivered by these people, these volunteers. And then they would just go, no, here's a bunch of flowers for you. And they were like, thanks so much, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it was, I loved it for that, you know, it was, and plus the garden was just full of life. I mean, to turn two patches of grass over the last 3 years into what it looks like now is a complete transformation. And I think a lot of times on Instagram, people just see the end result. And that's why every now and again, I will do a post to say, this is what this used to look like. And now it looks like this. It didn't magically appear like that. It's been hard graft. And sometimes I wondered what the heck I was actually doing. Why am I doing this?
Wasn't an instant transformation, but the joy when you look out in those summer months and see, well, I don't know which ones are your favourites to grow, but certainly you post quite a lot about sweet peas and possibly tulips. So I think sweet peas are definitely up there amongst your favourites.
They are. Do you know why? Because they smell. The scent is intoxicating. And I mean, I love them until a certain point when it's a full-time job growing sweet peas. You're constant tying in. They grow like a foot overnight. I would like to set up a camera, I think, and watch them to see the growth, because I would pick all the tendrils off and then tie them in. And I got to the point I started leaving string tied, little bits tied, because I knew the next day when I went out, they would be ready to be tied to that. It got to be like, I think people that grow sweet peas, they love them. And then it gets to that point, you're like, oh my God, I hate you. Why are you growing so quick? And they get to be like over the arch sometimes. So they must be at least 6 foot tall, seven.
Go away for a week and you come back and they're top heavy and they're falling over because you haven't tied them up.
Yeah. I picked them and I said to my neighbour, I was like, get your daughter around and just get her to pick what's there, because I was away on holiday. I was like, just pick them, pick whatever, pick all of them. And when I came back, I was like, did Gail not pick them? And she's like, she did. She took like loads. And I'm like, look how many's back. And it's the one thing with sweet peas, you have to keep picking to enjoy. And honest to goodness, there's a day or whatever you won't have flowers, because the next day you wake up, they've all opened up again. I think for that, it's amazing. This year, unfortunately, they succumbed to an aphid infestation because I didn't have enough. We had because it was so damp and wet this year, and it was a period that I wasn't out, and maybe I wasn't, I blast them with the fan shape on the hose to get aphids off. And I had been doing that, but there was just, it was pouring with rain. So there was no time that I was out, and they were getting really messy. And when I went out, oh my goodness, I have never seen so many green fly aphids in my entire life that it gave me the ick. I was like, oh no, you need to go. It was just green fly infestation, and it was gross. And I was sad after that, really sad. But my friend gave me actual peas to eat, and I planted them. And so they're filling the space now. They've filled right out. So, and I get to eat them.
Excellent. So when do you sow your sweet peas? Are you an autumn or a spring sower of sweet peas?
I am normally autumn, but with the weather last year, I got dampening off on everything. I lost, I would say, 75% of my growth, all my seedlings last year. So when I went into to plant things out, I had larkspur and something else. I can't remember what else. I had ami, I think. And that's when the great plant exchange happened, and all my lovely Instagram friends got together, and we all, where I had larkspur, they didn't. They had snapdragons, so we did an exchange. We were all meeting at friends' wedding. Basically, we all went to Emma's wedding, and we plant exchanged and went to garden centre as well. We're there. It was like the most fantastic weekend ever. You know, it was Beth meeting real life friends, exchanging plants, going to a garden centre and a wedding all in one weekend. It was
weekend.
I was on a high. So they saved the day. They basically gave me snapdragons. So I spring sowed this year my everything. And to be honest, it was later coming to life, but you don't need to open sow. It's just, I like flowers quite early on, and I didn't get any flowers until July, getting into August this year. Mainly, I think, the weather problems that we had. But it's a learning curve. I will not sow my sweet peas. I've sowed everything else, but I'm not open sowing them. They get too big, too tangled, too messy, and they need a lot of care. And to be honest, I didn't notice a difference. I did sow them very early though, because I have grow lights. I sowed them really earlier than everything else. So with the grow light station that I have built in the house, I had heat mats and grow lights, so I could basically get them a really good kickstart, which I'll do again next year. I'll just start them early February. Don't do that unless you have grow lights, because we don't have enough lights in the sky like at that time of year. We've for Scotland. I'm manipulating the conditions to suit myself. So yeah, with the heat mats, the layers of lights that I have, and this like basically built a grow light, which is on my Instagram feed if anybody wants to look at it. So basically I have grow lights on three levels and heat mats, and I can control the atmosphere, basically the conditions to allow my plants. It's how I grow chilies, which I do grow now, growing some veg. Ooh, but I've always grown chilies because my dad loves chilies, so I grow them for him, and I basically start them off in-house.
So what else are you doing now in autumn? What are you sowing in autumn?
Well, I've done it all. It's the biennials are done, they're in the ground, so they were done like in back in, you do them on the solstice, the summer solstice, so you get a good start, they get good, they get bigger, they get strong, and they can go in the ground before the frost comes. So they're all done, and my autumn sowing, mainly snapdragons this year. I had so many and they're still flowering. I did them in autumn and in spring, and they are absolutely amazing. So snapdragons, ami magus, I just love that, but you don't need that many. Scabious, it's one of my favourites. I love scabious. So I've grown a massive variety of those. I got a mixed seed, and then I'm going to actually save some seeds this year, because summer fruits was just absolutely gorgeous in the garden. It's like pinks and then a deeper pink, like raspberries, you're looking out like this gorgeous raspberry colors. So yeah, so they're the main ones that I'm growing. and they've already germinated happily, thank goodness, in the greenhouse. I started them off, but got a bit cold actually, and I brought out the heat mat and just plugged it into the greenhouse to keep it a bit warmer. Not really above 15 degrees you need, but some like larkspur need cold stratification. So they need to be hot and then colder and then hot and then hopefully they'll germinate. They can be a little bit the Goldilocks, and but I seem to have a knack with them, so I'm hoping it sticks.
And what about tulips? Are you browsing catalogues just now? Have you got any favourite tulips, or do you manage to do you, so do you start every year again with tulips, or do you keep the bulbs?
Yeah. No, I don't keep the bulbs. They get pulled right out from so I can get the long stems. But this year I've only got a few actually, and I've just been buying them in Morrison's and other stores, just if I see a colour range that I like. So there's a little bag, but last year I grew about 500 because I was, well, for Beech Grove, and filmed that. I think I grew them about 20 times because they filmed it about 20 times. And by that point, I was pretty over planting 300 tulips. So yeah, this year, the bed that I would put the tulips in, I'm going to actually change it to a veg bed. So I'm flipping, I'm growing. I know, I said last year, and people are now pulling me up for it, that I would never grow veg. I'm not growing veg. I have no room for veg. So
why have you decided to dedicate a bed to veg then?
Three beds. Yeah, it's Garden Gram's fault. I have met up with a load of really amazing people from the Lanarkshire area that we all now meet up and we help each other. And I think they're all veg growers. I'm the only flower farmer. So they basically get, I help them with flowers, and they've taught me so much about growing your own veg that I'm like, ah, I think I need to start that. But I've, as per me, not doing it in rows, I looked up small gardens, how to grow veg, and I looked into square foot gardening. So I'd never heard of that before. So I researched it, bought the book, basically started working. I was like, well, I can actually pack in so much doing the square foot. So it's like every veg has like an allocated amount per square foot. So you can grow one broccoli in a square foot, but you can grow 16 carrots and 9 turnip. So that was what I did. Me being very, I'm a very logical person. I work in IT, I work with computers, a linear thought process. So having little squares of joy basically worked with my brain. So yeah, I've already put it in. It's online, it's on my page, but what I'm growing. And I've built a brand new bed for corn in that next year. I'm basically no dig again, and but I'm building it up with cardboard and twigs and compost and basically layering it, and it'll be ready, probably hopefully have broken down by the time I plant out. So yeah, the learning again, oh wow, you can learn so much in gardening, and that's what I love about it. I'm here for it. I'm here for the learning new stuff and teaching people what I know. Basically the Lanarkshire crew, I think they gave me free veg, and it was just like having like a roasted beetroot, golden beetroot last year, just tasted so much better. And then another friend, Nicola, gave me like turnips and, you know, garlic. And I'm like, I just find it fascinating. So I have given over some of my cut flowers, which I think there's a good balance between cut flowers and grown veg for the pollinators to come in, you know, so we get the wasps coming in, eat the aphids. We have the, you know, we've got the bumblebees pollinating and hoverflies. And this year I had so many butterflies. I just sat in the garden one day and just watched the wildlife enjoying my garden. And that's what it's about for me now. It was cut flowers, it was growing to give, but now I've basically built an ecosystem, I think, really. Because I don't use any chemicals anymore, and I don't put slug pellets down, and I don't do all that. I mean, it was hard not to go out with like sprays and things like the like horticultural soap, and I don't even use feed liquid anymore. I used to use a tiny bit of feed liquid, and I just don't do it anymore. It's like, and now I'm noticing, yeah, that I get the predators coming in as well as the insects, you know, so you're getting hopefully a balance. I just didn't have enough ladybirds this year, and I might just buy some next year if I get that point. I just think I look around, there's not a great deal. More people in my area are actually putting out plant pots and redoing their gardens, and it's brilliant to see, you know, there's like more flowers either side of me, and I'm hoping that people go past the garden and they're like, I would like a bit of some of that. And putting a pot out is enough. Hanging a basket is enough. You know, it's allowing the pollinators to...
I walk by your garden and be absolutely in awe and inspired. And the fact that you're out there all the time chatting and giving advice, sometimes just the wee bit of impetus that someone else needs to just go ahead and do it.
It is. It's like a couple of people have just put pots out. Some people have grown sunflowers and they're asking for help and stuff. And it's lovely. I'm there for it, you know, because I ask for help. I don't know. I put a pond in. I have no idea what to do with pond plants. You know, I am very much a consumer of knowledge. I love it. I'm just like, I'll buy the book and I will pass on my knowledge. You know, there's a few people that have seen the square foot gardening on Instagram and now they're doing it. And I'm like, well, I do it. A couple more people do it. You know, pay it forward.
So what would be the top tips you would give then to someone who wanted to, well, either start a cut flower garden or just start gardening in general?
Just do it. Don't hold back. You know, get on the marketplace, get the free stuff. Just put cardboard over your lawn, put some compost in, build a bed. You know, it's not harsh. Buy a packet of seeds, grow stuff that's easy. You know, you don't even have to seed sow. There's loads of plants you can just throw in. I mean, I have done a little bit of a sprinkle party round about with Nigella, which is my nemesis and the garden. Nigella and Ranunculus, but Ranunculus are like other people's nemesis. But yeah, I love Nigella, but it does not like me.
That's interesting.
I'm giving it, I know, I don't know why I'm sprinkling this year. I basically mixed some seeds in with some compost and I threw it into the ground. That's it. If I get a that to work, awesome. You don't need greenhouses, polytunnels. You can grow milk cartons. I did that as well 1 year and I had really good success on majority of it. I slugged it into a couple of them, but you know, they're everywhere. You don't need all the faff. You can have a windowsill and a propagator and, or do you know what, a cola bottle. Keep the lid like half it in two and fill the bottom half up with compost, put some seeds in and then put the lid on. There you go, you've got a propagator. You don't need it all. The only reason I bought my greenhouse is because I fell in love with gardening. People were like, but that's your patio. It's like, I never sit out. I don't sit in the garden. And I've used that greenhouse more than I've used a patio ever the whole 10 years I've lived here. Yeah, so definitely buy what you can afford. If that's keeping cola bottles or milk bottles to grow seeds, that's what you do. It doesn't take much, you know, just the love of it, getting your hands in the soil. You know, I don't wear gloves. I need that. And there is so many health benefits to gardening.
Yeah.
Mental health and
physical health, well-being.
Yeah. You know, and getting out, all weathers because it's Scotland.
And it is a once you start, you can't stop. Kind of.
Oh yeah, the daughter comes looking for me when she's hungry.
Yeah.
It's like, we're having dinner tonight. What time is it? It's 5:30, Mum.
And say I'm outside and it's dark, and they go, "How can you see in this light?" I'm thinking, well, because I've been in it for, you know, hours. Yeah. So my eyes are accustomed to it now. Yeah.
I know. It's like, are we eating anytime soon?
No.
You know where the kitchen is. You know. It's like, yeah.
So, a final question for you, Kim, and it's a question that we ask all the guests on the podcast. So given that you have had all this experience with growing cut flowers and you're now branching into veg, if you had to start all over again, so let's rip everything out your front garden again, if you had to start all over again, and you could only have three plants. Now, they don't necessarily have to be your favourites, but if you could only have three plants, what would you have and why would you have them?
I never liked roses. I'm such a rose convert now. It's like I see them, like, oh, I need to have that one. So I would have roses in my garden. Because of scent and structure, I never pick them for bouquets, though. I just like them in the garden. I just like looking at them. The other one, which I love because of its floatiness and it has two things, is scabious, believe it or not. Because I've got the roses for the scent, scabious for like a bit of texture because you get the seed heads, which are great in a bouquet. And then I would grow some herbs. Like, there's so many herbs I use in my bouquets. And the one that stood out this year that I would recommend to any cut flower is the blackcurrant sage. It's amazing. It's got a gorgeous, a really magenta pink flower when it flowers, but it just smells of blackcurrant. It's amazing. It's not sagey, it's blackcurranty. So that I was like, well, yeah, that's what I would grow. I would definitely have herbs. Because they smell, you can eat them, and they are really good in a bouquet. Yeah, that's what I would do. The other one I always did was sneaking in, be fleabane. I fell in love with fleabane this year. Mexican fleabane, the Erigeron, is just stunning. I've got it under my roses now.
Thing about gardening that year on year, I could ask you the same question now next year.
Oh, it'll be different.
Completely different, because year on year we fall in love with different flowers, different things. Because
I had cornflowers first couple of years, loved them and then hate them. I can't have them in my garden anymore. They get in such a tangled mess. It's like tangly hair. Oh no, no. And people love them, and it's just like, no, I can't do it anymore. It's like, no, nah, sorry. When you're in there trying to get a stem out and then you're bringing out branches, I was throwing a hissy fit. I'm like, no, nah, not in my garden.
I think, Kim, we could actually talk all day about what you've grown.
But thank you so much, Kim, for sharing some of your garden journey with us today. And best of luck for growing your veggies in the year ahead. And I look forward to seeing the continuance of your cut flower garden and to see what's going to be blooming lovely in your garden next year. Thanks very much, Kim. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Scotland Grows Show. Don't forget to follow us on social media by searching for Scotland Grows across Facebook, Instagram, Twitter or LinkedIn. And sign up for our mailing list so you never miss an episode of the Scotland Grows Show. And if you are not yet subscribed to receive Scotland Grows magazine, 6 times a year, straight to your inbox, literally packed with Scottish gardening goodness, then be sure to do so as soon as possible and you'll even get access to all the back issues. Details can be found on our website at scotlandgrowsmagazine.com, across our social media feeds and in the show notes for each episode. The information on the National Trust for Scotland's Root subscription is also in the show notes, and they would appreciate your support to help National Trust for Scotland's gardens and designed landscapes thrive. I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the Scotland Grows Show as we celebrate Scottish gardening.